Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Our journey continues with Sefer Yeshayahu. As Sefer Yeshayahu is 66 prakim long, we will be switching educators today. Thank you to Mrs. Rivka Alter for your erudite and passionate presentation. Prakim Mem 40 through Samach Vav 66 will be taught by Mrs. Sipora Weinberg. May the comforting words of Yeshayahu uplift us as we move through the three-week period approaching Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av, and may we see the fulfillment of the words of today's parak, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, comfort, comfort, O my people, speedily in our day. Much continued Hatzlacha with your learning. And now for Perek Mem.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Tzipora Weinberg, and today we will be studying the Navi Yeshayahu, Chapter 40. We begin today with entry into the final phase of the Book of Yeshayahu. In previous chapters, 1 through 35, Yeshayahu prophesizes to the people of his time, mostly words of Musar, primarily admonishments pointing out failings and exhorting the people to a more scrupulous and committed practice and service of Hashem. These are followed by four prakim that are a historical description of King Chizkiyahu, his deeds and his relationship with the Navi Yeshayahu, and then, now, come the chapters that we will learn together, from chapter 40 until the end of the book of Yeshayahu in chapter 66, prophecies of Nechama, of comfort, solace, consolation. These prophecies are not particularly directed to the people of Yeshayahu's own generation. This generation had not experienced destruction. They didn't anticipate it, and even the glimmer of threat from Bavel had yet to appear on the horizon. Evan Ezra cites Rabbi Moshe HaKohen Ibn Chikatila, stating that these nechamos, these words of solace, are being transmitted after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and they refer to the rebuilding that will take place, that is, the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. But Evan Ezra himself posits that these prophecies refer to our redemption, that which will take place at the end of days, that which is yet to come. This is also the opinion of Chazal, our sages, who teach us that the seven haftaros of consolation, the Sheva Dinachemta, which are read on Shabbos in the 7 weeks between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, refer to our ultimate redemption. After we experience the sadness of the destruction, we read the seven portions of prophecy that describe the peace and blessing that will take place when things are set right forever. All of these portions come from this part of Yeshayahu, from chapter 40 and on, and they are staggeringly beautiful. The poetry, lyricism, and emotional resonance of each line are transportive, transformative. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, page 31a, describes the confrontation, the conversation that will greet each person when they reach the ultimate reckoning after living life in this world and entering into the next. The questions asked include, did you deal honestly in commerce? Did you set aside time for Torah study? And Tzipisa LiYeshua, did you anticipate the redemption? Rashi explicates on the spot, Tzipisa LiYeshua LeDivrei HaNeviim, that this redemption that you are supposed to anticipate, was that framed by the words of the prophets that they laid out before you? Did you envision the reality that they set forth? Did you crave it? Did you yearn for it? Hear, hear, these are the words that prophesize the ultimate redemption. And with these, we begin. We start with the resounding mantra, once and once again, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokechem. Hashem instructs the prophets in the ways of Nechama. Console, console my people. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, V'kiru Eleha. Speak words of comfort to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents the heart of all of Israel. When you address her, she is the node through which all messages can flow forth to the entire nation. Tell her, her exile is done. Ki malat tzva'a, her term of subjugation has ended. Ki nirtza avona, her sin is expiated. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha. She has already received a duplicate punishment from Hashem for all of her wrongdoing. This phrasing referencing a double portion of punishment demands further study. Hashem's ways are perfect and just. There can be no suffering administered that is undeserved. And we learn that Bnei Yisrael did not actually receive a duplicate punishment, but that that was the perception of Klal Yisrael. That was the way it felt when they were experiencing the exile. And Radak explains that these two portions of punishment refer, in fact, to the two periods of destruction, that of the first Beis HaMikdash and that of the second. The Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiva Shalom, offers a Hasidic interpretation. He quotes the Medrash which states that Klal Yisrael sinned in duplicate, as it says in Eicha Chet Chata Yerushalayim. They received punishment in duplicate, as we learn here in this Pasuk, Lakcha Miyad Hashem Kiflayim. And the consolation is duplicated as well, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. The Rebbe explains that in every sin, there are two phenomena that take place, the violation of principle, indeed, and secondly, the rebellion against Hashem. These actions yield two consequences. One is the punishment for the iniquity itself, but the second manifests in a distance from Hashem, a rupture in the fabric of that vital connection. So the double consolation referred to here is that Hashem forgives Bnei Yisrael for the breach and the punishment ends. But secondly, He will bring us closer once again. We will feel once again beloved, near and dear to our Creator. Kol korei bamidbar panu derech Hashem yashru ba'arava mesila le'lokenu. Clear in the desert, a road for Hashem. Kol geyin aseh v'chol har v'gva'a yishpalu v'haya he'akov l'mishar v'harachasim l'vik'a. These psukim are a cry to the creation, beseeching them, clear the way to allow for the return of my nation. No force will stand in the way of their homecoming. And then a very key verse, a key pasuk appears. V'nigla kivod Hashem v'ra'u chal basar yachdav ki pi Hashem diber. The presence of Hashem will be revealed, and all flesh as one shall behold, because Hashem Himself has spoken. When the ultimate redemption finally appears, there'll be no doubt that it emerges solely from His strength. All of creation, in unity, will recognize that Hashem is the one that made it happen. Psukim 6-8 speak about the enemies of Bnei Yisrael in general, and in particular, comparing them to grass. Grass has a minimal presence, it's basically weightless and without any semblance of strength or power. Can any of the nations affect change or have a true impact? Only the word of Hashem holds weight and water, as we will soon see. Yavesh chatzir navel tzitz ki ruach Hashem nashva bo, achein chatzir ha'am. Grass withers, flowers fade when the breath of Hashem blows on them. And justly, man is likened to grass. Yavesh chatzir navel tzitz udvar elokeinu yakum la'olam. The word of Hashem, however, is everlasting. If anyone appeared to look like chatzir, like humble blades of grass, it was Klal Yisrael. Could anyone have predicted after our most recent and extreme Chorban that we would rise up again? It is only the word of Hashem that can create change of such magnitude. From Psukim 9 through 12, the call resounds. From a high mountain, the redemption is proclaimed. Al har gavoa alilach mevaseres Zion, harimi vakoach kolech mevaseres Yerushalayim. Harimi al tirai, imri le'are Yehuda, hine elokechem. So the herald is charged to deliver a message. Your God has appeared. I know you can't see it yet, but raise your voice, says the Navi. Raise it with power. Tell them all that Hashem has arrived. Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak yavo, uzera'o mishalalo, hine secharo ito, ufe'ulaso lefanav. Behold, Hashem comes in all His might. He is coming in power and victory, and bringing our reward. And perhaps we can learn that the next pasuk explains why Klal Yisrael is deservant of that reward. Kiroa edro yir'e bizro'o yikabetz tila'im, uvecheko yisa alos yinahel. Because we remained His loyal flock. As our shepherd, He gathers us all up, even those who have strayed and have no strength to return. The power of Hashem, His precision in the creation and maintenance of the world, is detailed now by Yeshayahu. Mi madad b'sha'alo mayim, v'shamayim b'zeres tikein, v'chol b'shalish afar ha'aretz, v'shakal b'feles harim u'gva'os b'moznayim. Who measured the waters with a hollow of His hand and gauged the skies with a span and measured the earth's dust on a scale and weighed their mountains and the hills with a balance? And Yeshaya is speaking these words before the redemption, even before the exile. because there will come a time that people might doubt Hashem's power to effect such a global change as redemption. After 2,000 years of crusades, inquisitions, of Holocaust, it might be hard to believe one day that this is going to happen. So Yeshayahu foresees that eventuality, that weakness, and says, take a look at the perfection that is this world. If you doubt, take a moment to comprehend the built-in strength that exists in all of these thousands of years. Yeshayahu returns us to the moment of creation itself. One that could create such a wondrous reality could definitely redeem us as well. Until now, the Navi spoke to Bnei Israel, Hashem will come and redeem you with great mercy. But this was already stated by Moshe Rabbeinu, Im yiyeh nitchacha b'kzeh ha-shamayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem alokecha, u'misham yikachecha. But Yeshaya is not just talking about the Jewish people recognizing Hashem, it's all of the nations. A global phenomenal recognition. He begins to take account of the ineffectuality of the nations in the face of Hashem's grandeur. Hein iim kedakitol, hein goyim kimar midli, ukeshachak maznayim nechashavu. The nations are but a drop in the bucket, like dust on a scale. He lifts islands as if it were dust. Kol hagoyim ke'ayin negdo, me'efes vasohu nechashavu lo. All the nations are naught in his sight. He accounts them as less than nothing. Va'al mi tedamyun kel uma demus ta'archu lo. The nations of the world and their iconic powers have nothing to show, nothing to compare to Hashem. From Pasuk 21 until 27, the Navi speaks to the nations with a form of pity as well. Halo seidu, halo sishmo, halo hu gad meirosh lachem, halo havinosa mostos haaretz. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Haven't you been told from the beginning? Haven't you realized from its core how the earth was created? It's Hashem. And you know his inimitable power. Hayoshev al chuk haaretz, yoshveh kachagavim, hanoteh chadok shamayim, v'yemtachem ka'ohel ha-shaves. So, se'u marom enechem ure'u, look up. Transcend the limits of your myopic thought for a moment. Look higher and see mi vara ele. Who created all of this? He created hosts of stars with their own paths, with names that he set up for each. And he controls every one of them. Ish lo ne'adar. None, not a single person is missing. He created each Jew as well. They are no less important to him than the stars. And now we come to the summation of the chapter, and it's the most difficult part of all. Lama somar Yaakov usedaber Yisrael. Nistara darki mehashem umeyalokai mishpati ya'avor. Why, Bnei Israel, do you talk to yourself this way when you are in Galus in exile, saying, my way is far from Hashem. He doesn't really care what's happening to me in my distant state. I don't deserve his attention, let alone the miracle of his redemption. Until now, the Navi spoke to Bnei Israel talking about redemption, reminding Jews of Hashem's power in creating the world to reinforce the belief in the coming redemption. Then he spoke to the nations of the world, explaining their negligible and powerless state in comparison to the creator of the world. But this final part is addressed to Jews that don't doubt Hashem's power. They know Hashem is capable and can do anything. However, this Jew has given up. She has lost the belief that Hashem is still interested in her, to reach out to her and help her while she is fallen, dejected, and remote. This same Jew that says that Hashem doesn't care about me, especially umelokai mishpati ya'avar, I don't have any reason to expect that I would be equal to his judgment. Here we sense the Jewish guilt and fear in reckoning with absolute truth. And it is to this point that the final words of the chapter are addressed. Before the final redemption, a Jew must believe that Hashem wants to save each and every one of us. Halo yadata im lo shamata Elokei olam Hashem, borei kitzos haaretz, lo yi'af velo yiga, ein cheker lesivunaso. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Hashem who created all of the world for us, he never tired of us. He never gave up on us. His wisdom cannot be fathomed, and he never stopped thinking about us. He never felt that we were too much. We don't know why it took so long, but when the moment will arrive, Nosein layayif koach ulein onim atzma yarbe. He will inject hope and spirit into those that were indeed weary. Even if we gave up, he will give us strength once again. Vekove Hashem yachalifu koach ya'alu ever kansharim. Yarutsu velo yigau, yelchu velo yafu. They who trust in Hashem will renew their strength, molting new plumes as eagles do. They will run but never tire. They will march and their step will never want. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.